Welcome to our AJAG PD Pod, the place for discussion, debate, and learning about all things accounting. Our hosts, Ivan Tabak, Jonathan Tucker, are CPAs that have been in practice for more than 3 decades. Together, they bring varying experience and viewpoints to the table, not to mention a little humor, too. Join us as we talk through current issues and hot topics, tap into expert guest insights, and enjoy the odd walk down AJAG memory lane. Before we begin today's podcast, please note, although the educational material within the podcast has been carefully prepared, none of the persons involved in the preparation of the material accepts any legal responsibility for its contents or for any consequences arising from its use. As well, the podcast material and the references contained therein may reflect laws and practices that are subject to change. Advice regarding a particular fact or situation should always be reviewed by a qualified professional. This podcast is produced and distributed by AJAG Professional Development. For more information about AJAG or any of its offerings, please visit ajag.ca.
Hi there, and welcome to AJAG PD Pod episode number 10. My name's Ivan Tabak, and today I'm joined by Jack Kalb from Minted Search Group. Jack, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure.
And your background and your business.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm a partner at Minted Search Group. We are a recruitment firm that gears towards public accounting recruitment. How we started was I came from public accounting. So I began my career at EY. I got my designation, realized that I wanted to take that knowledge and skill set in a different way. Then I met my business partner, Stephen Lecker. And he had been in recruitment for 12 years before I had met him. And we came together, saw a need in the market for public accounting and accounting finance focused recruitment, and you know, began the business a couple years ago.
That's great. So your firm is exclusively really doing searches for public accounting, or do you handle other jobs?
So I would say 80% of our firm, it comes, searches are public accounting searches.
Okay.
That being said, process is similar or skill set is similar to identify good candidates for other industries. Mm-hmm. So we do industry roles in finance, in real estate, investment management, but 80% of our business is public accounting recruitment.
Okay. Personally, I've never used the services of a firm such as yours.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you explain the process? I determine I have a need for a staff member. I give you a call. What is the process? Just walk me through the back and forth, the information you need, and then your process in identifying candidates and
sure,
and offering them up.
Sure. So the process when you identify a need and you want to give us a call, first, I really need to learn about your business. So who are your clients, what you do, who you service, and then go into more of what your needs are, specifically for if you're a public accounting firm, and what level, what skills they need to have, they need to be designated, not designated, focus and assurance, non-assurance, so very similar to what your business needs are. It's also important for me to understand your structure, so how many partners you have, what the teams look like, the benefits you might offer if you're hybrid work, remote work, in office. And then once we have all those pieces, mm-hmm. we can typically go to market, which we already have a vast network of public accountants, and start thinking about who would be a really good fit for your firm specifically. So the task that you're giving us is being able to make the connection between someone we think is a good fit for you specifically, and likely that we already have that network in place because we focus very closely on public accounting.
Okay. So you'll assess the needs. You'll come up with a short list of names. Then what's the next step on your side? Do you then start re-interviewing the mm-hmm. candidates, you
know, sure.
in relation to my specific opportunity? And then at what point would I meet these, sure. The potential candidates?
So it's interesting because public accounting firms typically do very similar work across different companies. So in public accounting recruitment, you can have one good candidate who could potentially work at various different companies. So our job is to make sure that they're a good fit for you specifically. Odds are we've already screened them or are about to screen them for their technical experience, for their geography, for their hybrid or remote work expectations to make sure that it aligns with what you told me on the call.
Okay.
Public accounting recruitment typically isn't like we send you a short list of five candidates because there's a ton of candidate scarcity. So it's really difficult to get good people in front of good firms because there isn't that many public accountants. Whereas if you're recruiting for industry positions, then that's where we'd send you a list of four or five resumes and you can choose one from there. So it's definitely an interesting difference with public accounting recruitment and industry. But my job is to screen them. And when I present you that resume, you to feel comfortable that from a baseline technical perspective, as well as their personality and their culture fit will be hopefully a good fit for your team.
Okay. So you mentioned the scarcity of available candidates.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in that area? Like, why is that now an issue in the last number of years? What's changed?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. So to start, I think the number of accounting, university graduates with an accounting degree has decreased year over year for the last decade. So new people coming into the workforce in public accounting is starting to get less and less as the years go on. Coupled with the fact that now people can get their designation outside of public accounting makes it even more challenging for firms to attract those candidates, because now they can, work in-house, typically have more of regimented schedule, a typical 9-to-5 where public accounting isn't, and still get their designation, when before it used to be you could really only get it through the public accounting route.
Right.
Another thing that's also changing is the decrease in international student visas that could probably decrease the number of people getting an accounting diploma in Canada, which is going to further add to the scarcity of candidates here in Canada.
Right. So what's your experience with CPAs who are coming in that, mm-hmm. that have been designated in other countries,
mm-hmm.
As far as coming to you and looking for placement? Is that something that adds a fair bit to the pool?
So it does. And a lot of these people coming to Canada are incredibly skilled and experienced and talented, and I think could be a great value add to a lot of public accounting firms. The only hurdle you have to tackle is that most of their experience is with other accounting frameworks, not, ASPE, Canadian specific,
right,
or Canadian corporate tax. So they typically have to get that experience on a more junior level first, and then move up from there. So when we are helping clients hire, it can be a challenge for us to help somebody who's new to the country because they don't have the Canadian experience today. But if someone is willing to take them in, train them up, coach them, then in a few years, they'll definitely be someone we can definitely help.
And do you find that individuals in that situation coming in with foreign professional designations, mm-hmm. are they very open to starting at the lower level, or do they have an expectation that they'll come in at a more senior level?
I think it depends on the person, to be honest. Sometimes, a tough part of my job, to be honest, is telling these people who have 10 years experience abroad that they're a little bit more junior here in Canada based on their technical experience here. And it's a tough conversation to have, and I wish I could help them get to the same level they were before leaving their home country. But that's just not the case. So I always try and communicate some willingness or some flexibility in that aspect so that they continue their trajectory here in Canada in public accounting.
Right. So you mentioned that there's been a decrease in the interest and the number of students coming out of school in public accounting or in the accounting field. Any idea or any feelings like as to what the change is, why that change in attitude, and what can be done to encourage more people to go into it? Accounting, I guess, typically has pretty bad rap in terms of the excitement of the job, despite the commercials that CPA Canada has in, you know, the accountants flying around in helicopters to offshore oil rigs. And
it's funny you bring that up. Everyone always refer to that that commercial.
Those are the most ridiculous commercials. I mean, I was at a larger firm for 10 years before I went out on my own, and you know, I can the most unique situation I found myself in with an audit was at one of those drive-through African safari zoos.
Okay.
So we had to go out and count the cows and
yeah,
and you can depreciate cows.
Not a helicopter.
And animals. Yeah, no helicopter. But that was about as exciting as it got. So, you know, what do you think would or could be done by firms and maybe by the industry leaders themselves to encourage people to get into it? Because it is, obviously, there's good opportunities now.
Yes.
And the compensation is pretty good at this point.
Yes.
Especially for starting positions.
Yes.
So what do you think can be done to really get the word out and encourage people?
Yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally accounting has had a negative perception for a very long time. You know, even the way accountants are depicted in TV shows or movies, you know, I think it roots from there. And the typically there's the mindset that it's long hours, low pay, not a lot of flexibility. But what we've seen in the last few years, especially after COVID, is firms trying to adapt to a younger, you know, demographic where they value flexibility in the workplace. They value some, you know, hybrid or remote work options. Pay bands have increased drastically in the last couple of years as well, especially for those, you know, that senior to manager level person. So I think firms are already starting to try and do a better job of attracting people into the accounting field, but it is going to take a lot more effort, even starting it from a, you know, the efforts on the campus recruitment front to try and get students interested from the beginning.
Right.
So it's just a combination of factors that they can do. If I could give one piece of advice to any firm out there, it'd probably be to implement as much remote work as you can, because that will increase your candidate pool drastically across the GTA, Ontario, Canada, and it will allow for a lot of flexibility for your employees.
So when a candidate comes to you, they're looking for a position, they'll sign up with you to try and place them. What are the expectations you find that they're coming in with?
Right.
Perhaps they've already met with other firms who've told them, you know, that they can expect this and that and salary ranges, et cetera. Then they come to you where you're specializing in the area. Do you find there's a bit of a disconnect, between what they've been initially told and what perhaps you can steer them to on a more realistic basis?
Sure.
What's the expectation gap there?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of our advantage for both candidates and clients alike is our very narrow focus in public accounting recruitment. You know, my public accounting background specifically, so knowing what these candidates are, these employees are doing day in and day out. The challenge we have is when they've already had a few calls with other recruiters, typically, where they don't focus that much on public accounting like we do. A lot of recruiters will inflate salaries or talk about work-life balance when they don't actually know the intricacies of the work or the hours being done at the company.
Right.
And I see myself and our firm more of recruitment advisors than anything else, because I want to communicate to the candidates what real expectations should be. you know, what they can expect from a pay perspective or from a work-life balance perspective. And when I'm trying to say that their salary expectations are a little bit high, it's not because I don't want to get that candidate, that, you know, that employee a higher salary. It's because I know that what the market entails and what they're paying. So, but I sound like someone they don't want to work with as much sometimes, because the next recruiter they're calling is telling them that they can get them 10% more than I'm saying. So that's been a really big challenge when people don't focus on public accounting recruitment or any industry, for example, right? If I started working in software engineering, I feel like I wouldn't have a better idea of salary bands or expectations.
Right.
So that can be a pretty tough, you know, line to walk between wanting to work with somebody and just being very honest with them to help them regardless if I can place them somewhere or not.
Right. But I would imagine if you've got somebody who's been overpromised by another recruiter, then let's say they commit to going with that other firm, and the results of the offers that are coming aren't what was promised.
Right.
Do you see situations like that where they then turn around and come back to you?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you were the one giving them the straight goods from the beginning.
Of course. Yeah. The approach I take is to be realistic so that when we get into an offer stage, there's no, you know, mismanagement of expectations, right? And there's been countless amounts of times where someone comes back to me in the exact situation that you described, that they worked with somebody and they didn't end up getting what they thought they were going to get, or the company did different type of work than they thought they were going to do, or the remote and hybrid work policy changed.
Right.
And these are things, as recruiters, we should be telling candidates openly, because at the end of the day, it's their lives we're dealing with. My life isn't really going to change based on them taking a job or not, but I'm really mindful that theirs will. So it's really important to be honest and transparent so that 3 months from now, someone's happy in the job that you helped them with.
Right. Now, do you run into situations where the job being offered is not, in fact, what they'll end up with? And that's not because, obviously, you're misrepresenting what it is, but the employer perhaps is misrepresenting, or intentionally or not.
Sure.
But, you know, so you'll vet somebody with the knowledge you have, the more detailed knowledge of the industry. But then, of course, you know, if the employer hasn't accurately described the situation, they'll come, you know, there'll be a mismatch there.
So we try and do our best to get the most amount of accurate information as possible, both from the employer, you know, and the employee. We unfortunately can't control the truth that is being told to us by anybody. So we have to do as best job as we can to get as much information as possible to be able to make that match. Sometimes, unfortunately, it doesn't go the way we would hope for it to go, whether it's the employer didn't give the employee the type of work they wanted, or the employee misrepresenting their experience. The more we do this recruitment process over and over again, the more you start learning and picking up on different things to read between the lines and make sure that we are, you know, making a great match between employee and employer. But sometimes it is out of our control.
Right. So, do you concentrate, or are your employers mainly in the GTA, or do you deal outside of the area, outside of Ontario?
No, so I would say we're definitely expanding across Canada. Most of our clients are in the GTA. We have clients as well in Ottawa, Montreal, London, Vancouver, Calgary. So we're across Canada, but it started mainly in the GTA.
Right. Now, would you ever do a site visit to a firm if it's a new firm to you, and perhaps speak to some of the other employees at that firm to get a feel for what it's like there?
We'll typically visit an employer once they're a client of ours, not drive out there to make sure that and potential new client says they're 50 people and they're actually 50 people.
Okay.
But for client relationship purposes and seeing their office, seeing what we're potentially selling to potential candidates, right, we'll make those drives to clients to make sure that we know who we're talking about.
Okay. So what advice do you have for firms who are looking to fill CPA roles?
Sure. I think the most important thing for them is to be willing to adapt and be flexible. So like we talked about before, salaries continue to rise in public accounting. So revisiting their salary grids for both internal staff and people that are trying to get into the firm is really important. Being flexible to give employees some more remote or hybrid work arrangements if that employee requires it for personal reasons. Be flexible to give them a more comprehensive benefits plan. So they need to continue adapting and not stay stagnant in the ways of the past in order to attract more CPAs, for sure.
So let me ask you, do you get more, let's say, of the younger firms or younger individuals running the firms approaching you? Or would you say there's more of the old timers like me who are very stuck in their ways and stuck in the mindset and stuck in the concept of the type of work that we had to go through back in the day, you know, working ungodly hours and weekends, regardless of whether we're in school or whatnot, and the lousy pay at the beginning. Where do you see the market, and how challenging is it for you when you do get one of us?
So I think that is probably one of the biggest challenges, because typically I'm dealing with individuals that are partners who've been working in public accounting for probably before I was born sometimes. And they are just kind of a little bit stuck in their ways, or they like to do things certain ways. My advice to them is to start being able to adapt and be flexible, because the public accounting industry isn't what it was 30 years ago. And sometimes it can be a little bit of, discussion with the partners of that certain firm to try and get them to see what their needs or what they should be offering in order to attract the younger demographic. And that's why we're also here. That's why we focus on public accounting recruitment, but for candidates and clients alike. So you know, I can have a very transparent and honest conversation with the owners of the firm to advise them on what they should be or can be doing in order to fill those roles. It's up to them whether or not they want to listen to me.
Right.
But at least I've told you what I think you can do to get more people to the door.
So what's your experience been with situations where you have an older practitioner, or let's say a more veteran practitioner, hiring, you know, a recent CPA? In terms of how the practitioner can actually adapt, you know, it's one thing to say, yes, I understand, and yes, I will do it. But when it actually comes down to it, what's that new dynamic look like?
I think it's a process. I think there's a little bit of pushback initially, but I've had a lot of examples with clients that as time goes on, more and more of my suggestions or our suggestions have been implemented because they work. And because it's almost like a necessity now more than anything else to be able to attract people. But definitely at first, you know, I only have a limited access to a certain number of partners, or I'm dealing with some HR professionals at the firm. So my relationship with these individuals is limited in some capacity. So there is typically either pushback or, you know, not a huge desire to change what they've been doing. But I do think over time, it has slowly and slowly evolved.
Right. Yes, it really has to. And it's up to the practitioner to make it work. I know, again, as I said, I've never gone through this process myself. But just thinking about it, thinking about having to adapt to a new way of thinking and a new way of working, having somebody work for me off-site, not seeing what they're doing, not seeing how many hours they're putting in, I think that would be very difficult for me at the beginning. Now, of course, if you see the results and they're what you expect, well, I guess that, you know, proof is in the pudding there. But I think it would be, personally, I think it would be difficult.
I totally understand the hesitation.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, as a business owner myself, sometimes it's hard to let go of some control in different aspects of the business, right? But I think to set yourself up for success, talking to people that know the space very, very well from a third party's perspective and are seeing what's going on in the market, sure, with different companies and what they're doing, all I can do is advise you on what I'm seeing, and whether or not you want to, you know, take my advice, that's up to you.
Right. So it's go down alone with the sinking ship, or bring on a young professional to help keep things going further out.
As best we can.
Yeah. So I know one of the big questions for people looking to hire, especially, you know, sole practitioners, small firms who perhaps have never, who haven't hired anybody in years, mm-hmm, or haven't gone through this process. What are the salary ranges from, you know, all the various situations? So a professional coming in from another country, you know, but starting fresh, a newly graduated student university who doesn't have their designation, sure, yet, or someone who now has a designation and starting out, you know, I guess coming into their second year or third year,
sure,
et cetera. So maybe you can just give us some ideas of,
yeah, of course,
of the salary bands.
Sure. I think the first thing we have to think about, which is important, is geography, because a firm in Toronto is probably going to pay more than a firm in London, or even Calgary, because of the market and, you know, the size of clients, you know, that type, and the cost of living.
Okay.
So if we're using the GTA in Toronto as an example, I can definitely walk you through some of those salary bands.
Okay.
I would say for someone starting out in public accounting, you're probably looking at somewhere in the mid-50s as a basis point. With someone with over a year of accounting experience, they're typically in the 60s at some point now, probably low to mid 60s. And then when we get into the mid 70s is when you start looking at that senior level candidate, where maybe they have 3 years experience, maybe they're about to get their designation. It also really depends on the other benefits that the firm provides, like do they pay for the CPA? Do they give you medical benefits? That type of stuff. A designated professional, like a recently designated professional right now, is probably making around $85,000 to $90,000. And then managers are typically starting in the low hundreds.
Okay.
But these are definitely increasing. And what we're seeing is as the months go on, the expectations are higher and higher and higher. So although we're recording this today, that might change drastically in the next 6 months.
Right. Okay, so make a note. This is July 2024.
That's right.
We can revisit this in a few months. So you talked about the geographical differences. So you gave us Toronto area salary. So what would comparable numbers be, let's say, for Calgary or for,
I would say,
you know, let's say the Maritime provinces?
It's the Calgary is probably typically 10 to 15% lower. than Toronto. Vancouver is very comparable to here.
Okay. And so the Calgary level numbers, would that be about as low as it got if you talked about anywhere else in the country?
No, not really. I think the Maritime provinces are a little bit lower. Like even some remote areas in Ontario can be lower. You know,
right.
London, Ontario, Sudbury, they can be lower than Calgary for sure.
Oof. Okay. So most of what we've been talking about now is from the perspective of the employer. But from the employee's perspective, what should they be keeping in mind? What type of expectations should they be coming into this process with? What preparation should they do in advance of coming to you to help place them somewhere?
I mean, I think, first of all, I think if they're coming to us, they've made a really good decision in the first place. But just, you know, I think it's really important for employees to know what they're looking for before really approaching recruiters. And sometimes I know I'm mindful that they, you know, might not know what that looks like, but it's really important to have some sort of direction before coming to us, because it'll be easier for me to advise if I think I can help get you where you want to go. And if you have a better idea of what you want to be doing, then the opportunities that are being presented to you by recruiters, you're going to know if it's for you or not for you. That's definitely one thing they can do. Knowing who they're talking to is also very important. Like we've said, my focus on public accounting recruitment is clearly laid out in my LinkedIn. So, or knowing that I got my CPA, so they know that at least I have some knowledge of the industry, to combat, you know, other recruiters speaking to them and maybe not knowing the market as well. You know, from a more detailed perspective, their LinkedIn should definitely be updated, which with a lot of detail as much as possible, because the way recruiters find employees is through LinkedIn and keyword searches, and adding those to their profile will allow for them to be more visible on the back end of LinkedIn. Their resumes should be 1 to 2 pages maximum, have perfect grammar, perfect spelling, perfect formatting. As recruiters, part of my job is to make sure that looks good as well. But if they're not talking to recruiters and are just applying on their own, definitely making sure that the resume looks perfect and is very applicable to the job or the company they're applying to is another key one. I think all those things are probably a good place to start.
Right. And I guess it's important for employees to understand that while they're coming to you and you're making the connection with prospective employers, they need to understand that they have to sell themselves to you as well. So I guess treat you like the employer when making the initial contact.
Right.
Right. You're doing the first round of interviews. And I'll tell you, I once in my career, when I was transitioning from my role at a large firm, before I made the final decision to go out on my own, I did go to a recruiter to try and find a position in industry. And I had friends who had left public accounting and gone through recruiters and been placed. And in my mind, it was, you know, I go to this person and they're going to find something for me. I don't really have to sell it. I wasn't going in with the thought that I have to sell myself to this recruiter. Mm-hmm. They have to sell me to an employer.
Right.
And it didn't go so well. Right. Not that I, you know, really slacked off in the interview, but the mindset. Like I wasn't treating it like a job interview.
Right.
I was treating it like I am coming to you, not that I'm paying you.
Right.
But I'm coming to you and you're working for me.
Right. Oh, I
right?
I get that.
I didn't have that right perspective of the process. And for anybody doing it for the first time, I guess that's important to really understand. You are, for all intents and purposes, the employer at that first screening level. Yeah, you're at the open the first door. That's you. You've got to get past the employee. Has to get past you,
for sure.
No, to get to the employer.
That's definitely a key learning point, or advice for someone looking for a job when they're dealing with recruiters. To go beyond that, beyond just an interview or that I'm screening that person, what I ask typically of people I speak with is for them to be as honest and transparent with me as possible, even if that means saying something that wouldn't pass to go to my client.
Right.
Because if you're not transparent and honest with us, we're not going to be able to help you as much as we can. And if you give me that transparency and that honesty, I'll give it right back, right? So that in itself is really important. And sometimes people don't share enough details or their thoughts or their goals with recruiters, and it ends up them going a different path when they could have gone another way.
So when a firm makes a decision that they want to take on a new employee, often it will really be outside of their area of expertise, regardless of what they believe. So what would you say to those firms? Why should they consider at least coming to a recruiter such as yourself to fill that role and to not make the mistakes that they're setting themselves up to make?
Sure. So I think the most important thing is saving time, because if a firm or any other company, an accountant for an industry position are looking for somebody, posting a job on a job board, such as Indeed, you're going to get flooded with hundreds of resumes,
right.
98% of which are likely not going to be a great fit. So we take a lot of that upfront time spent doing that away to only send you people we believe are positive, vetted candidates that will be the right fit for the roles that you have available. We will also communicate expectations from the start. So instead of going through a resume and interviewing that person and only to find out that their salary requirements are 20% above your salary band, you will know that information with us from the beginning. So we have taken all that ambiguity away from the process. So it's really saving you time, as well as us being an active, recruitment firm. We're always in the market, always looking for people. So we will likely have people for you in anticipation of your needs before you even know you need them, right? So because of the scarcity of the candidate pool, you might have someone leave tomorrow, and by working with us, we might already have someone, in our pipeline ready to go and fill that need quicker than if you only identify the need tomorrow, post a job board,
right,
on a job board, assess candidates in 2 weeks' time. It takes you 2 weeks' time away from your core business that you should probably be doing. And because of how quickly interview processes go in public accounting recruitment, that person that you've identified was a good fit for you might not even be looking for that job anymore. So I think it's twofold. It's our expertise, it's our knowledge, combined with our active recruitment strategy to set you up for success, more so than trying to fill that position, by yourself.
Right. Now, one other thing that always comes to mind is the interview from the employer side.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do your vetting. You'll propose a candidate. Now, I've got to meet the person.
Right.
I can't say I've done many interviews as an employer, right? What type of assistance do you offer the employer when it comes to that stage of the game? Is there any coaching? Is there any, are you in on the interview with, if we need you to be?
How would that work? We're not in on the interviews. If there's been times where an employer will ask me if a certain type of interview style or interview questions are, you know, what they should be asking or appropriate for that stage of the process. But ultimately, my perspective on it is giving that employer as much flexibility as possible, because they also need to represent themselves and the firm in the way they want to represent themselves.
Right.
Right. Because as much as I think I have a great relationship with a candidate or an employer, I'm not going to be there on a day-to-day basis. So the way I look at an interview is just facilitating a conversation between two parties. And should it be a good fit? Fantastic. If not, no problem. But it is important for both parties to represent themselves in an authentic way to make sure there's is a good connection.
Right. All right. Well, I think this has been a great conversation. I've learned a lot about the process and what's available to me as a prospective employer. I hope others watching have taken away some good information. And certainly, if there's any questions that they might have, are they able to contact you?
Sure. Always happy to take a call or an email from employees or employers. If you're a industry client or a public accounting firm looking to hire, you know, we'll always happily take a call. Love to learn more about you and what you do and see if there's any way we can work together. They can email me at jack@mintedsearchgroup.com, go to our website at mintedsearchgroup.com, and we can take it from there.
Great. And this would apply for public accounting jobs as well as jobs in finance, industry?
Correct. So we also do accounting jobs, industry jobs, finance jobs. And even if I can't help you directly with a HR job or a software engineer job, I'm happy to put you in contact with someone I know in the industry.
So thanks again for joining us today. And thanks for everyone for watching. Please be sure to check out our website for any of our formal course offerings. Sign up for our newsletter and you'll be notified of any upcoming and new podcast releases, as well as our bi-weekly blogs. And if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe and leave a comment if you've got one. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll see you next time.